You're listening to the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast hosted by Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, and Brad Tarver. Welcome to episode 41. Yes, this is new iPad week for all of us. I received my 12.9. My 10.5 is still not here yet. Jim, yours is, but you're going to get it tomorrow since you literally just walked off a plane, right?
Yep, I just got off the plane. I just had it delivered to the office, which opens at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So I'll walk down and get it tomorrow out of the office.
The 12.9 is sweet. You know, this is the first one that I've had that has a True Tone display, and I kind of wonder what that was like. And you guys, you can see my office here, and I don't know how it comes across in Skype, but the lights here aren't very bright. I have sort of a couple of low watt bulbs. I mean, I don't really need it bright. Most of the time I'm sitting in here typing, I can sit in darkness and do that. But when I was setting up the iPad, I did it down here in the basement, and the True Tone matched the ambient light to the point where it almost looked like I had night shift on, which was really disconcerting. And when you're setting it up, it gives you the option. You can touch the screen and it turns it on and off, on and off. And as long as you're touching it, it's off. And if you remove your finger, it's back on. So that was kind of nifty.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. To give you an example of what it was like. The one thing that I haven't done, I have my pencil down here, and I think I sent a picture on Telegram earlier today when I was working from home. But I haven't done the drawing and I haven't watched. I hear the screen, if you have split screen, you're doing a drawing app, half the screen will be 120 hertz. And then the moment you take your pencil off the screen, it flips back down to its normal 60 hertz. But I haven't really had a chance to sort of put it through its paces yet in that regard. Hit the Verizon store, got my SIM, was a complete idiot, asked for the wrong size because I didn't have my iPad with me, and I forgot that they actually use nano SIMs instead of micro SIMs. And of course, shame on Verizon for being the only US carrier to not support the built-in Apple SIM, the soft SIM that I should have been able to use, but oh well. But yeah, it's rocking and rolling.
How much lighter is this one than your previous 12.9? Is it? Can you tell any difference at all, or is it about the same? I don't remember any of the stats.
So that's the thing that I spent some time trying to look it up yesterday. I still have my original 12.9 upstairs, but it has the silicone cover on it that Apple no longer sells. This feels a lot lighter to me, which is weird because my original is a Wi-Fi only. This one is the cellular plus Wi-Fi. Typically, those are usually a couple of grams heavier, but it feels incredibly light. In fact, when I went back to the Verizon store, the employees took the iPad from me to put the SIM in, which it's like, I can do that myself. I have the SIM tool and everything, but I let them do it because I didn't want to appear to be some sort of weirdo who's like, nah, my toy.
You let somebody's grimy fingers touch your brand new iPad?
Or I have all manner of cleaners that were applied, and it was sanctified once it entered the Apple temple of my house when I got home. However,
Brian pulls out a pair of blue gloves and hands it to the guy before he hands him his iPad.
You are not fit to hold my iPad, sir. No, the reason I mentioned that is that the two employees could not get over how light it was. It's like, look at how large this screen is, but how light this thing is. Even for the people in the Verizon store, I was acting as an Apple advertisement. So that was sort of something. But yes, it is remarkably light. I have it here just out of frame. It feels lighter, so maybe if I put the silicone case on it, it'll feel different, but I may just go without the case for a couple of days. My 10.5 won't be in until next week, and by the time this airs, I will have already gone out of town and come back. You know, I'm seriously leaning toward hanging on to the 12.9 and just returning the 10.5 unopened and not really putting them through their paces. I was reading Federico Vitici's review on Mac Stories, and I think I sent you guys a couple of excerpts from that. I use my iPad Pro like a laptop a lot of times. I like that larger size just because, I mean, it's as big as a MacBook Pro screen. So I really make use of that real estate. I use the split screen a lot. And it looked like the resolution on the 10.5 versus the 12.9, it's not like the iPad mini where it's the same resolution, just scaled down. It's a little bit more compressed. It's not a deal breaker. I'm sure the 10.5 would be fine. I'm sure on a plane, I'm going to wish that I had it. But I'm kind of leaning that way. We'll see what happens when I get back, if depending on the amount of time I have as to what I'm really going to do. But I'm seriously leaning toward just taking that thing back. I really can't wait to hear your impression of it, Jim, particularly since you have your 12.9 there as well.
Yeah, I was wishing I could have got it, but between the late flight and the office being closed. So I used my 12.9 on the flight on the way home and was doing some reading, and then I was watching the U.S. Open on the Southwest TV on the big iPad. I was like, last flight with the big iPad. I've already got somebody that wants to buy it, so it's pretty much sold. Making the switch.
I was going to ask you what you were going to do with it, whether it was going to be family member or Craigslist. I had my money would have been on Craigslist, but
I was going to do family member. I was going to sell it to my stepdad because he had been looking, and I talked to him last weekend and didn't realize that he had actually bought a Chromebook.
What?
Yeah, so he's got that. He's happy with it. It was cheap. I mean, this was probably, you know, a little bit out of his price range, or, you know, not that he couldn't afford it, but that he just wouldn't want to pay that much.
He wouldn't drop that much on an iPad, probably. Most folks won't.
Right. So, yeah, I found somebody else that wants to buy it.
Haven't decided what I'm doing with my old one. I think if I had to guess, my dad is probably going to inherit it because he's still rocking my original iPad 2 from 2011, and that doesn't do OS updates anymore. So I think he's still stuck on iOS 9 or something right now. So I think it's time for me to trade him up to something better. Plus, you know, with the trouble that he has seeing, he's nearly 80. Giving him something that's with that much real estate to work with might make his iPad browsing time a little more fun. Instead, I think he spends most of his time on the 2009 27-inch iMac that I gave them last year. Well, that's I think we'll have more to report the next episode when I think we've both had our iPads for a while. And Jim, I'm sure before you get rid of yours, you'll probably have them set up side by side just to see the way it looks and feels.
Oh, for sure.
I'm too married to that split screen and the promises of what iOS 11 has. I mean, I would like the smaller screen when I fly, but since I fly a lot less, I don't think that I'm going to do it. I think I'll probably just return it unopened, along with the unopened 10.5 keyboard that I have as well. So since we've talked about Apple so much for the last couple of weeks, you know, given that it's been WWDC, one of the things that we had wanted to touch on that came out a couple of weeks ago was the Essential phone. That's a product that has been launched by the Android founder Andy Rubin, or I should say former Android founder Andy Rubin. And it looks like a really pretty phone. Have you guys seen that phone yet?
Yeah, it's a pretty slick phone. You wrote in the notes about the titanium case and how they could pretty much never fill orders on it. It just seems silly that you would kind of paint yourself into a corner like that.
I did. I read a couple of the stories. I kind of laughed when I saw the name Andy Rubin to name his phone the Essential phone. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Well, you know, the good thing that they've done, I mean, again, they've made this thing out of titanium and ceramics, and they really gush in the article one of the articles that I linked to, where, you know, hey, even Apple couldn't machine titanium like this because apparently it's very difficult for them to do. But in the same article, they turn around and they say that it's so hard we can't make these at scale. In fact, the quote was, if Essential sells 50 million phones this quarter, Jason Keats, the company's head of product architecture, is totally screwed. Essential simply cannot produce that many phones. That's the point. That, to me, seems like a really bad thing to be in that business. Now, of course, no one's expecting them to sell, you know, nearly that much right out of the gate, but it just seems sort of weird to be going for this marquee, you know, high-end product when you know, from a boutique brand, when you don't really have a brand, right? I mean, you know, it took Google. It was revealed this week that Google took 8 months to sell 1 million phones. And Apple sold over 78 million phones in just the second quarter of 2017 alone.
It seems to me that the ecosystem of a phone is what makes the phone that much more desirable for everybody else. It's that people want to make cases for it, and then they want to make software for it, and they want to make all this stuff for this phone. That's part of, you know, if everybody's got one and you want to share it, it kind of made me think of, you know, when they were talking about if we do make it really big and we can't keep up. What was it? It was a Two Guys Moving Service, where, you know, when you start your company and you name it Two Guys Moving Service, it's really hard to grow after that, you know?
Well, I will say the forward-thinking thing that they've done is that they've tried to add technology into the phone so that they can continue to build accessories. And it seems like they're trying to design a phone that's going to be long-lived.
Modular.
Yeah, modular. Well,
they've been a modular phone, sort of.
They're going to have a charging dock. They have a 360-degree camera that can click into the top of the phone. And it's going to connect with these small metal pins. And it says it won't entirely replace USB-C, but they're hoping to someday. So they're trying to do this. They have the magnetic connector and they do wireless data transfer. So they're trying to be forward thinking about it. I just don't honestly think they'll end up being around that long. If you're investing in this company, you're wanting them to make money, and you're wanting them to do that, they're going to have to sell a significant number of phones. And they already say they can't make a significant number of phones. So I wonder how much runway they would have to just sort of be this little boutique brand and be happy with that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I wonder if how close to real life those product mock-ups are, because that edge-to-edge screen and top, I mean, edge-to-edge left, right, and edge-to-edge top, bottom is really awesome.
It reminds me a little bit of the iPhone 5, but just, I mean, obviously it's bigger, but it's kind of got that shape to it and the, you know, the chamfered bezeled edges.
That was a good design on a phone. I really liked that one a lot. But having the camera as the lone thing and that bezel-less screen. I mean, I realized why they had to do it, but it just sort of looks out of place and it sort of mars the image. And then everything, like if you're going to watch a movie in widescreen on that phone, let's say you're on a plane, you're always going to have that camera sort of taking up real estate on the screen. I don't know. I don't think I would like that. I mean, granted, I'm not sitting around watching movies on my phone exclusively, but if you can't totally make it edge to edge, then I don't know. I think I would have had just enough of a bezel that that wasn't in the way of the action.
Andy Rubin is clearly a smart guy. I mean, he's done some amazing things. But I just don't understand the market for this phone. I don't see what – I don't understand their goal here. If they can't make a whole lot of them, I don't get it. I don't know who their market is and what they're planning on doing with this. I don't know. It's like Google trying to make a high-end Google phone that's, you know, runs Android but would – attract iPhone customers, but they can't make it at scale. I mean, and even you said what Google sold like a million phones all year long. I mean, that's a
nice segue into something else I wanted to talk about, because it came out this week. There's an article on The Verge that we'll link to that Google wants to get serious about building its own phones. Actually, I think the article was something to the effect of Google wants to build its own iPhone. And the thing that was interesting about this is that they're starting to hire away engineers from Apple to work on custom systems on a chip. And I read this and I'm just like, yeah, okay, well, making consumer hardware at scale is a very, very difficult thing to do. And Google is a software company. Granted, they design their own hardware internally, they design their own servers, but that's a different thing. They're the only ones that are ever going to consume it. Making consumer hardware is a lot more difficult. They have a really bad reputation for providing consumer tech support. If you have a problem with Gmail, you have a problem with YouTube, whatever, try calling Google and see how well that works. Even if you're paying for the hosted, you know, the Google services, it's still not great tech support. They're just not set up to do that. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's in their wheelhouse. And you got to wonder how their partners would feel about that. Like all of a sudden now you're having to compete with the people that make the operating system. And they're essentially trying to make the Google version of an iPhone that is a mass market device that's going to appeal to everybody, not just a flagship, not the lowest end, but something that goes for most of the features folks would want. That's I don't know, if I were Samsung, HTC, LG, I'd be really, really annoyed.
From a customer service standpoint, think of how many Apple stores there are. I mean, there's at least six, I think, in Dallas. Think about when you walk in one, those places are crowded from like noon until they close 7 days a week. Try to get an appointment for anything. You know, it's going to be a couple of days out. I mean, that's hands-on customer service. And they've got these stores with people that are trained and, you know, and millions of employees to do this kind of stuff. Google has zero, I mean, absolutely zero of that kind of infrastructure. I mean, unless they want you to bring it to the Geek Squad, you know, going to hire some best by to do their Geek Squad stuff. I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't know who else. I mean, Samsung keeps up with Apple, I think, to a point. I mean, they probably, I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing Samsung probably makes more phones than Apple, like in total, like all the different phones they make all over the world. They make more phones than Apple, but they don't make as many high-end, the kind of phones that Apple makes. Like everything Apple makes is their high-end phones because that's what they sell, you know, and then they discontinue the older ones, so...
I mean, I know in Georgia, we have, just in the Atlanta area, we have, what, four? Actually, five. Five in Atlanta.
I'm lucky we even have one here.
And it's where you live, so that's also a nice touch.
That's true.
But you got one. That's the only one in Mississippi, Brad.
And two Starbucks. Woo!
That's how you know you've made it.
Crazy. Two Starbucks? I've been places where there's been Starbucks across the street from one another.
We used to have three, but they closed the one in Pearl.
The best part about the whole Apple experience, and one of the reasons that I've sort of consolidated my family on it, is that retail experience. If my brother has a problem with his MacBook Air and he's out there in Fort Worth, he can go and go to an Apple store and they'll take care of it. And it may be pricey, it may be under Apple Care, I don't know. But at the same time, there's some way for him to get it fixed. The same with any of my other relatives. They all live fairly close where they can go somewhere. And it doesn't matter if they bought it at Best Buy, they can still take it into an Apple store and Apple can do something about it. If they bought it at Verizon or AT&T, doesn't matter, has that Apple logo on it, you can take it into an Apple store and they'll try and help you out. So that is a really big advantage for common people. And I think one of the articles that we'll put in the show notes where I talk about Google isn't known for consumer tech support is that the average person who's using an Android phone is using, if they care about those types of things at all, tend to be a little bit younger, a little bit nerdier, a little bit, you know, tech savvy, I guess, as it is. And maybe that isn't a concern for them. But if you want to hit that mass market adoption, you have to be able to be able to deal with people like our parents and the not so tech savvy.
You see it every time you walk into an Apple store, some grandma looking lady, and that's not a dig or anything. You know, I love grandmas, sitting at a table with somebody in a blue shirt and he's showing them how to check their email or make a phone call on an iPhone. You know, I mean, that's cool.
But those types of things make the experience very, very sticky. So showing grandma how to check her email in an Apple store and sitting down and spending the time with her is something she's going to remember when she needs another device or she needs a new device. It won't just be she went in and talked to whatever guy is working at Best Buy who knows nothing about it and is just wanting to make a sale and get her out the door. That helps make that customer. That's why those customer satisfaction numbers are always through the roof, is that ability to go in and get help. And you don't have to be super technical to do it. I mean, it's probably the smartest thing they've ever done, is having all those retail presences where they could control what that consumer experience was like. Because you know yourself, at most retail stores and go to your phone store, go to your other retail electronics store and try to get help. It's terrible. Send away, like when your headphones broke a couple of weeks ago. Now, granted, Sony did right by you, but still, it would have been much better if
they went right by me. They sent me another pair out that was broken, but yeah.
Okay, point made. So if you had a retail store to walk into, you could have probably had one in hand, or they would have treated you better, right? We've all had better experiences through Apple, at least I think I have, than I have with any other retailer that I regularly do business with.
No, I mean, I'll even say that, and I've got a $3,500 laptop sitting here that I'm pretty pissed off at Apple about, so.
Okay, you may be the exception that proves the rule on that one, but then again, I swear you have magnetic waves coming out of you.
Yeah, I have Bluetooth blockers, like, built into my body.
The retail stores are like having the dealership do the maintenance on your car. They sort of roll out the red carpet when you walk in there just to get your oil changed.
I did tell you about my experience at my local Mercedes dealership, right, when I get my car serviced.
Where they brought you like hot towels and a back rub. And
They let me set up in my very own private office to do my job so I could work remotely. They had in the office right next to mine, they were giving the free massages. So they have like a masseuse set up. They're doing things. You can get golf lessons. It is actually nice. And that's the same.
Damn.
I hate to bring it back to that, but I view Mercedes and Apple in a lot of the same way, because you pay a premium for it, but the support that you get ends up being better. When I have to take my wife's Chevy in to have it looked at, it's never as good of an experience as I get at the Mercedes dealership.
My wife drives a Honda, and I do the maintenance on it at the Honda dealership. They do have fresh baked cookies every day. Granted, this is not they don't have a masseuse, or, they don't give you your own private office, but they do have fresh baked cookies every day, all kinds of coffee and whatnot, free waters.
That's what I was going to say.
And their internet access, they have free Wi-Fi there in their waiting area for the people who are getting their cars worked on. And the internet is crazy fast. Like, it's probably 3 or 4 times as fast as it is at my house. And I have 100 megabit Comcast business at home. So it's not bad to sit there and work and drink coffee.
Yeah, same thing with Acura. I was going to say, all the Mountain Dew you want, a bunch of different kinds of coffee, fast Wi-Fi, nice little kind of, a desk that you can sit at our table. And they've got those same cookies at the Acura dealership, I guess, as they have at Honda. And those are good cookies.
But see, both of those brands, too, when you think about that and you go to buy another vehicle, that's going to stick in your mind of the experiences that you've had, particularly if you've had good experiences with that dealer. I mean, that's what keeps me coming back to mine over and over and over. And if it were just solely on price, I probably would, I'd go buy, if I was in the market for a Mercedes, I'd probably go to CarMax or something and get it there. But the point is, when they create that good retail experience, you want to come back. It is a selling point. And that's one of the best things that I've had with Apple. I love being able to walk into their store, pick up an accessory, scan it with my phone, and turn around and walk out, and I'm done. I'm in and out of the store faster there than I can buy something anywhere else, even though it feels like you're stealing every time you do it.
I've done that and freaked out coworkers, because I forgot an Apple charger for my MacBook one trip, and I only had one at the time, so I didn't mind buying another so I could leave one at home. And I just walked in the store, I picked it up off the shelf, I scanned it with my phone, and I walked back out, and they're like, "What the hell? Did you even pay for it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you never done that before?
You're such a thief."
I've done that with my coworkers as well, and it was like, wow, I've never seen anyone shop that fast. It's like, I know exactly what I want, and I know where it is.
So talking about customer experience, I thought it was funny. Earlier this week, I was watching a video on I don't know what site it was, YouTube, ESPN, one of them where they show you like 15 to 30 second commercial clip before you can actually watch what you want. I think it was ESPN. It was probably the ESPN app. It was a Samsung commercial. And the whole commercial was, we've got this new 10-point inspection super process for our batteries, and we're doing it right, and look at us. And it was not about any kind of device at all. It was just about, look at us, we're going to make sure that we've got the super inspection process for all our batteries now. And I was internally was just laughing.
We promise you can take it on a plane again. It's great. The new feature we're announcing, it's safe to fly with these phones.
We promise it won't burn a hole in your pocket and give you third-degree burns.
The only thing burning a hole in your pocket will be your money to buy our new phone. That should be the commercial, honestly. That would have been the great thing for them to do.
That would have been a great commercial, Brian. You need to send them that one.
Feel free to use that if anyone from Samsung is listening. I would be quite content for you to steal my idea on that one.
Your check's in the mail.
I wish. But yeah, I love that good, positive customer service that I get from that. And if you ever get freaked out, or you freak people out, Jim, and you're walking out and you've scanned something and you want to really freak them out, reach under one of those wooden tables and you can grab a bag from underneath there and yank down, and you can put your stuff in a bag and walk out with it. Pro tip.
I did not know that.
I only know that because I was in there once and I went up to an employee and I said, it feels weird doing this. And they're like, would you like a bag? I'm like, yeah. And they reach under the table, grab one and gave it to me. It's like, duly noted for next time if I have to do that.
And you know, they love that. They like, watch this. Just, you know.
I was impressed, I got to say.
It's like a Kleenex dispenser right under the corner of the table. It has bags in it.
It is, exactly. So there was an athlete, a former NBA player that got busted for going in and acting like he was buying stuff from the Apple store, stealing it off the shelves, and then going and reselling it on eBay. I'll Google for that and put it in the show notes, but I know that happened. I think it was in Phoenix a couple of years back. Let's see, what else do we have to talk about? There's not a lot else that we really wanted to hit. This may be a slow show this week. tvOS 11 is going to add automatic AirPod pairing, dark mode activation, and home screen syncing, which yay on at least, well, you know what? Yay on all three of those things, because the automatic AirPod pairing, I kind of wondered why that wasn't already a thing. I mean, they all run a variant of iOS under the covers, really. I mean, it's all the same. It should be trivial. You should be able to do this. I shouldn't have to pair it like it's a non-Apple device like I do today. But the home screen syncing, very excited about. I've got 4 Apple TVs right now, and none of them look the same at all. They're all in different orders. They all have different apps installed. It's a mess.
That'll be nice, because that's always something that kind of annoys me if I have more than one of the same device.
I think it'll be nice just to have it backed up.
It bugs us OCD types.
Just to have it backed up if you want to reset your Apple TV and have it pull back in to where the way it was set up. I think that would be nice.
Well, this is the next best thing. So if you have more than one, and it's, you don't wipe them both at the same time, you could just turn on the other one and say, hey, do you want to make it look like this one? Sure. And they go ahead and do it. I'm sure you'd still have to re-authenticate, but looks kind of nifty. I finally got around to setting up my 4th a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. The one that I got free from either DirecTV or Sling or something like that. I think I gave one of them away as a gift, but I finally set one of them up in my guest room.
I ended up giving up my second one here recently to a girl that I was going out with.
I had DirecTV and the PlayStation View. No, wait a minute. It was Sling. Sling and DirecTV Now both gave away the free Apple TVs, and I had them both. Get the free Apple TV, then cancel the service. It was a great deal.
Thanks.
It would have, well, I still stuck with DirecTV Now, so at least one of those panned out, but Sling was just, meh.
So I've got a topic for us. It's probably quick. Betas. How long are you waiting for iOS, Mac? How long are you going to wait?
I was waiting just until I decided on which iPad I was going to keep. Whether it was a 12.9 or the 10.5, because backing the betas out is always a pain in the butt. But since I'll probably keep the 12.9, probably as soon as I get back from my little trip in the next couple of days, I will go ahead and probably put that on the 12.9. By then, I'm hoping beta 2 will be out. That may be optimistic, considering beta 1 only came out a week ago. I'm ready to jump on that near immediately. I will say, I hope that it doesn't do what it did. You know, a couple years ago, I think in 2014, when the iOS 9 beta came out, they changed the way that iCloud syncing worked. And they were like, if you put this beta on your phone, it's going to totally nuke all of your iCloud syncing. And I was like, okay, I don't care. And I put it on there. And lo and behold, it did exactly that for the entire summer. My iOS syncing did not work. So all my task managers, other stuff that I was depending on didn't work. and it made me very angry and sad. I knew it. I knew it going into it. I ignored it. I did it anyway, and I paid the price. So I always have that in the back of my head of like, what am I going to break when I do this? But I'll still put iOS 11 on there anyway. I won't do it on my phone until, you know, a lot, maybe beta 4, beta 5, something like that. But for the iPad, it's going to happen probably in a week or so. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'll probably wait till at least beta 2 for the iPad. I'm probably going to wait a little bit longer for the phone. I don't necessarily have to have it for the phone, and I definitely won't do anything with my Mac. But for the iPad, I'll rush it a little bit because it's not a mission-critical device like my phone or my Mac. And also, I want to play with all the new iPad productivity stuff that they're putting in there. So,
what about you, Brad?
Well, since my son's laptop got stepped on at school, I don't have an extra MacBook laying around, and that's always the first thing I like to try over iOS. Is I always like to try macOS betas first, just because I feel like I'm more immersed in macOS than I am in iOS, even though I use them both just as much as you two. So that's all. I'll eventually probably get around to maybe finding a used one, or I'll swap one out here somewhere. But it won't be anytime soon. It'll definitely be before it goes gold release or whatever the grandmaster release or whatever they call that, when, you know, the week before the
gold master,
before the actual version comes out. But I don't really have a timetable on when.
I have a spare MacBook Air behind me. I could, I guess I could fire that up and put it on it. I don't really want to do the macOS betas. Now, High Sierra I might be okay with, since it is sort of a bug fix release. It's not going to be a major overhaul, but I can't put it on my work computer because I need that for work. I don't really want to put it on my personal Mac, my iMac, because, you know, I podcast from it, and I've done this before, and I've broken Hindenburg and, you know, some of the other tools that I depend on to do editing and production. So I really don't want to risk that.
Yeah, you definitely want to do it on a sort of a throwaway machine or a spare machine. And then you could always sort of load your apps that you find essential just to see how they work, or if they'll work, whatnot.
So I had one other thing today that wanted to mention. I don't think I would have normally said anything about this, but it happened today that we're recording. I was standing in line at a food truck outside of our office in St. Louis, and for lunch. And a guy walks up to me, and I have my AirPods in as I'm standing in line. And he's like, "Where'd you get those?" And I was like, "Apple." You know, like they're the Apple AirPods, you know, because I've had people ask me about them. And he's like, "Oh," because I didn't think they were out yet. I'm like, "Yeah, they've been out since December, right before Christmas, but they've just been hard to get." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, because, you know, Best Buy, like I've checked and Best Buy never has them. I just didn't think they were out yet." I'm like, "No, they've been out a while. Just order a pair online and, you know, you can get some, but they're just hard to get." I just thought it was funny because, I mean, he immediately was like, "I didn't think you could have those yet, you know, because it dawned on me when he asked me at first, you know, he's like, you know, "Where did you get those?" It wasn't a, "What are they?" He knew what they were, but he's like, "How do you already have them?" was really his question. And I was like, you know, come on, man.
Tell him you work at Apple. Only Apple employees get them right now.
My second pair, I just noticed today that the charge hit the credit card, and I got the push notification, and I haven't got the notification from Apple that they've shipped, but they're imminent. I think they're going to be here by June 23rd or something. So I may end up returning them. I was having some issues with my AirPods, and I'm like, crap, if these things die, I will not get them replaced, and I depend on them a lot. So I'll just go ahead and pre-order a second pair, and we'll see what happens if it dies between now and then. But yeah, this has not been a good month for my credit card with the two iPads and now that hitting. So at least one of those iPads is going back, and the AirPods may be going back. But it was kind of funny that Best Buy had them this week before Apple did for my order that I placed like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, mine's going a little nuts. You know, I just bought the watch, you know, whatever it was a couple of weeks ago and a month ago, and now this, and like, oh, well, I haven't decided how much I'm going to ask for this iPad Pro yet. I need to sit down and figure it out, because the keyboard and that case on the back are, that's another $250 that I paid for those, whatever it was. And so I got to figure out, you know, how much can you charge for those accessory things? I mean, because, you know, they're going to want, you know, they want them, so.
Yeah, that's the worst part. You got to get rid of all the accessories too, and hope that they want to go ahead and buy them, and they're not going to be cheap.
I'm keeping the pencil, and I'm keeping the MacBook charger. So
just got to get rid of the keyboard case. I'll tell you which beta I'm not installing, and that'll be watchOS 4. I don't do watchOS betas at all. Do you want to know why?
Because it's hard to roll them back. I remember last year I learned that trick where I was without my phone for like 3 weeks because I put the beta on my watch, and then I rolled back my phone, and my watch was basically a brick because it wouldn't connect with my phone.
Also, if something goes wrong with the process, it literally becomes a brick. You cannot undo it yourself. You actually, and Apple, you have to send your watch off if something goes wrong with the OS. So if you have an OS catastrophe, I mean, we've all had that on iPhones every once in a while where your phone goes into DFU mode and you have to be creative on how to get out of it. Well, if that happens to your watch, the only way out is to send it to Apple, and I'm not doing that. So I can wait on that.
Yeah, I liked to have a fit yesterday because I forgot to put mine on before I went to work. I had to go back to the hotel at lunchtime just so I could put mine back on. I still didn't make my rings. Oh, well.
Even when I'm out of town for the next few days, I'm going to close in those rings, fellas. Should be coming up close to 6 months where I've been, well, okay, 5 months as of tomorrow, I think. 5 solid months of closing in the rings. Yay, new record.
Another little side note, a new version of the Twitter app came out for iOS today. And while I do use Tweetbot almost exclusively, the new Twitter app actually does look a lot better. The official Twitter app.
Yeah, I have that on my phone. I never use it. Every once in a while, if I click on a Twitter link inside of Safari or something, it'll open it. But I do plan on looking at it. I heard that there were some nice UI refinements in there, but I want to see. But I never see myself switching from Tweetbot on a regular basis. It's just so much more user-friendly. And now Twitter has opened up the API, so you can do like messages. I mean, the direct messages have images in them now. I used to keep the Twitter client around just so I could send images via DM if I ever needed to do that, because you couldn't do it in Tweetbot. But yeah, I think I'm going to check that out. Here's a pretty nice update. Anything else to discuss? This will probably end up being a short episode because there just hasn't been a lot going on.
I was going to say the Amazon Echo Dot has been marked down to $40. I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but it was marked down to $40 today.
Father's Day. That's what it is.
Forgot about that.
I actually had somebody at work ask me this morning about a Dot for Father's Day, and I told her I thought it'd be a great gift. So
I can barely get my parents to talk to Siri, let alone a third-party assistant, so that will not be happening for my dad. But he might be getting himself a slightly used 12.9-inch 2015 iPad Pro. We'll see.
Thanks, son.
It's only been touched with the blue glove treatment.
If you have to have anyone's secondhand Apple gear, it's best to have mine because I take really good care of it. And I always keep all the original boxes, materials, and everything else because I used to do it for resale. So give me a shrink wrap machine.
You don't have kids either, so. You know.
That too. So you know it's going to be nice. And I don't smoke either. It's still practically pristine.
That's like you just started your commercial. It's practically pristine.
It's new to you. That's what NBC used to do when they would run reruns of low-rated shows. Well, you didn't see it the first time, so it's new to you. Good times. Well, I think that's about all I have. I think this is it for this week, Ben. So,
Brian, have fun in Kentucky.
I'll do my best. All right, well, until next time, later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. You can find us on Twitter. The Twitter handle for the show is @infinloopback. That's @infinloopback. I am @BrianB. That's @BrianB. Jim is @BigJim. That's @BigJim. And Brad is @MeesterIdle. That's @MeesterIdle. Thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.